Sydney Swans chairman Andrew Pridham's been good enough to give me some of his time. Welcome to the program, Andrew. Great to have you on.
Pleasure.
It's an interesting time for all of us and those in the business world. It's a strange time because some in the business world are in a situation where they have to plan for what the other side of all this looks like. And if you can plan well, then you'll come out of it well. But if you can't plan well, you haven't got the opportunity to do that, or a strong brand or a strong enough business, it can be disastrous. You're the president of, or the chairman of, one of the strongest sporting franchises in Australia. So it's interesting to me to find out from you how you are coping in these times, because you've always been known as being one of the most well-run and strongest clubs in this land.
Oh, thanks, Dwayne. Look, it's clearly been very, very challenging. And I think in the early days of the crisis for the AFL industry, and I, like many others, had days where, you know, I couldn't see how we were going to pull through this. And it's been a remarkable effort from a lot of people, a lot of hard work, a lot of goodwill, to really get through what I call the survive phase. And I think we're through the survive phase, and now we're in the reset phase. And that's going to be, I think, in many ways, even a bigger challenge.
So as good as leadership and how important leadership has been over the course of eternity, really, it's in essence been more important in the last 3 or 4 months, or 2 or 3 months especially. I'm sure you had a put your head in your hands moment when it did hit the fan, but great leadership is more important now. Is that what you're telling me? Because I'm hearing that from a lot of avenues.
When is great leadership, you know, never important? I think it's critically important, and I think the AFL is to be congratulated for what they've done thus far. There's a long way to go, but also within the clubs, I mean, it's been extremely difficult. The decisions that have been made regards to people, in particular, a lot of people have lost their jobs, or substantially reduced incomes, and that causes great hardship. So it's been emotionally draining, as well as all of the financial and legal implications that come with that. And I think it's really tested a lot of people, and probably, you know, as you often see in a time of crisis, you see some people really step up and thrive, and others perhaps don't. And certainly in terms of the Sydney Swans and the AFL, I've been really pleased with just how strong the leadership's been across both organisations.
Because as a player group and as an administrative group, you need to, yourself and John Longmire spoke really well on Jared's program earlier, be a strong guiding light for others who need to be guided?
I think so. I think if those that are driving the bus, so to speak, need to show leadership, confidence, and it's difficult because a lot of the issues that we've been confronted with have never really been dealt with before. They hadn't been contemplated even, and therefore there's no rule book as to how you deal with it. It's very much like the global financial crisis, except it happened so much faster, and it had the overlay of all of the health issues and restrictions on personal freedoms, which obviously brings with it all sort of mental health challenges, and it's really had it all. It's been great to be part of, and I think we'll all be pleased when we can get through it.
And the conversations with staff, those that have been laid off, those that have been told, we're sorry, but there's just nothing that we can do in the immediate future. Have some been told that in a perfect world that they will maybe have a job sometime down the track?
Yeah, look, it's been a very complicated scenario, and it's still a moving feast. Clearly, as you know, the soft cap issues in terms of the football department and the mandating of 25 staff able to have contact with players. So at a football department level, those discussions have obviously now been had. And, that is heartbreaking because a lot of people that work in the football industry, it's not only their livelihood, but it's also their passion, and particularly in the football side of things, it might be the only career that many people have ever known. So to have to have those discussions and say, look, you know, for no fault of your own, this is not a job for you, or we can't afford to pay you what we paid you in the past. The same with administrative staff. Clearly, if there's no games, you just don't need as many people. And when the clubs and the game itself is really struggling to survive, and that's the reality. You know, I think the whole industry and the club, many of the clubs came very close to not surviving financially. Tough decisions have to be made, and it's very, very difficult. No one enjoys doing it. And the sad thing is, it's not over. You know, there's going to be, you know, we're really dealing with 2020 issues and getting the game started again, and what that means for staff. But no sooner will we be through that, we'll be talking about 2021 and onwards, and what the industry looks like then, and that's going to be difficult.
So you've cut to a number now, football department staff, which is 25. That's what you've had to do. But in 2021, you'll be able to cut to a dollar cap spend, in essence. So is there a chance that some of those people can come back?
I think so. It's going to depend a lot on, I mean, one of the clear themes through all of this crisis has been the need for agility, because things have changed so rapidly, and what you're seeing now with the complications around Western Australia and South Australia, for example, these are things that are changing rapidly. So it's very difficult to plan ahead when the information you have is imperfect, and you just don't know where things are going to end up. But I think there's always hope. Whilst there's life, there's hope. But I also think, you know, we have to be very realistic, and being realistic, the size of the AFL industry and the clubs is going to have to be smaller. They're going to have to be more agile units, and there aren't going to be as many jobs, and that's going to be a reality. And the challenge we have is to, with smaller budgets, fewer people, is still to be able to give people a rewarding career, still deliver footy that's an attractive product that's relevant to people. And I think that's incredibly important. The passion of supporters, and certainly I know the Sydney Swans members have been absolutely unbelievable through this. And we really need those people to stick with us. And if the product's not there because we cut it to the bone, or we take out the essence of what makes footy such a great sport, then we'll all lose. And that's something we're all very mindful of. But it's not going to be, 2021 is not going to look anything like 2019, I can assure you of that.
And how passionate are your fan base? Are your Sydney people to get footy back? Are they as passionate as Melburnians or South Australians and West Australians? We just don't necessarily equate their passion in Sydney to being like ours down here.
Well, obviously, the people in Sydney are far more intellectual than those in Melbourne. No, just joking. little joke here from Sydney. Welcome. Look, the supporters have been fantastic. I mean, we've got Sydney Swans, who are the largest number of supporters of any club in any sporting code in Australia, 1.1 million fans, 60,000 members. And the support has been overwhelmingly positive. And that's been one of the things that's really, I think, got the players through and got all of the staff through, is knowing that our supporters, they do understand how difficult this is. They're passionate about the club. Being a member of a footy club, it's not just a transaction. It's a, you know, many cases, a lifelong passion and relationship. We've been around 146 years. And our members in particular are passionate about the club. And, you know, we have launched a program to reward those that remain loyal and retain memberships, and hopefully those that haven't signed up as members will, because we need those people, and we will come out the other side. We'll be different, but we'll still be a fantastic organisation and a fantastic sport. And those people who love the Sydney Swans and the Bloods, whether they live in Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth, Brisbane, Gold Coast, we've got them all over Australia. We need them more than ever, and thus far, They've been giving us great moral support.
So this Bloods 2020 campaign that you've got going is kind of part of embracing the football community, because they are part of the Sydney family and have been forever, and they do love being involved, even in this strange year where we're not playing games at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we sat down as a club and we thought, well, how do we engage with our supporters and our members? And it's very difficult when there's no football going on, and you'd know better than most people in the media. It's very hard if you're in the football media and there's no football. It gets fairly difficult. Difficult to come up with new interesting things. Is probably why you're talking to me today.
No.
And really, how do we engage with these people? I mean, 1.1 million people support Sydney Swans, and obviously millions and millions of people support, you know, various clubs in Australia. How do you engage with them when there's no footy on day to day? And you know, one thing we've all learnt without football during this season, or sport generally, is just what a void it leaves in all of our lives. And so the Blood's Loyal 2020 is something we've thought, well, how can we engage with people and our members, but not engage in a short-term basis, but really give them something tangible that they can say and hopefully look back in years to come when things are better than they are now, and have something tangible that says, you know, I was there for the Sydney Swans, I was there for the Bloods when they really needed me. And that's the great thing about footy. It's not about being around when you win premierships. That's easy. It's about sticking loyal when things are tough.
And how hard is it for you to plan? It's hard for the AFL to plan right now. Are you expecting the AFL to give you some sort of indication of what the first month will look like before the end of this week, to today or tomorrow?
Look, ideally, I mean, clearly, a lot of talk about a restart on June 11. It's going to be very important that the clubs get the opportunity to train for 3 to 4 weeks before that. And that's probably the biggest complication short term is having a clear runway in terms of full contact training, because that is going to be necessary. We've obviously got very good visibility now on what the protocols will be for the players and the football staff, and that's part of the limiting 25 contact staff to deal with the players. State league football is going to be a complication. Housing arrangements for players is going to be a complication. When the restart comes, you know, we're confident that we'll be ready to go. I know the players are itching to play, but until we know what's happening with Western Australia and South Australia, I don't think we'll get, you know, too much clarity as to what the draw will be, for example, because that does complicate things. But it has to be seen. I think it will be seen.
And when you talk soon, you think by the end of the week. Mark McGowan, the WA Premier, I think in the last hour, has said that the WA teams can at least fly in and fly out. Other teams coming into Perth, I think the quarantine protocols will still hold firm on that. But the WA AFL teams at least can fly in and fly out without having to go into a 14-day lockdown. I think that's what he's been saying in the last hour. So at least we're getting some clarity from premiers right now, so the AFL can start to plan around that.
Yeah, I think, well, that's the complicating factor. I mean, I think everyone is acting very much in good faith, and people want to get football and the whole economy and people's lives back to normal. I don't think anyone's acting in any other manner. Things change very, very quickly, and I think the first stage is going to be training. Training's full contact training is very important, because it's important people understand that no clubs can just start playing without having a proper training regime. So if that can't be permitted under state laws, then the teams are going to have to relocate well before the games start. But I'm still confident that with the goodwill that exists between the state governments and the AFL and the clubs, that we'll come up with a solution that is fair, you know, as fair as can be possible for everybody.
So are you still looking at June 11 as being the plan A? And if you have to go to plan B, well, so be it. But at the moment, you plan for plan A?
I think so. I think that's the that's the hope, that we can start on or around that day. But again, agility is probably a key word. Everyone's going to have to understand that things aren't perfect, and they're going to change as new information comes to light and as things change. And the main thing is we get those 144 games started as soon as we can. Under which I expect will be a reasonably normal schedule, and albeit we might be seeing For example, we might be seeing Sydney Swans and GWS playing in Sydney on the same weekend, which is something we don't normally do, but I think that's probably where we'll end up in that sort of an arrangement.
And do you see yourself playing the Giants in the next restart weekend?
I actually had no idea what the restart will look like. So I just don't know.
Yep.
I don't know what, and I think a lot will depend on what happens in South Australia and Western Australia.
And the stakeholders in your club, the sponsorship is such an important area as well. How are you going with all your stakeholders as it stands right now, Andrew? Because keeping them involved in some capacity with the opportunity to explore better avenues for them in 2021 and 2022, how's that looking for you?
Look, it's been fantastic. We've had Sydney Swans, but we've been very fortunate with very long-term corporate partners. DBE has been our principal partner for over 30 years, which is extraordinary. As an example, Volkswagen's major partner with us, realestate.com.au, they have all been unbelievable. They've stuck with us. They've continued to pay the bills, despite obviously they're not getting the full value they would have expected at this point. But I think our relationships are very much more than just transactional. We have very strong relationships with them, and we'll do everything we can to ensure that with their loyalty that's reciprocated and that they get value for money, because as the economy restarts, I think great companies like QBE and Volkswagen, for example, they understand that things will restart. There's nothing more certain than that, and having a brand presence and the ability to engage with the community is going to be incredibly important as they get back into action.
Do you think the AFL will give out more primetime slots, so play Wednesday night, Thursday night, maybe Monday night? Do you think there will be more primetime slots? And do you think there will be a chance that there's almost a bigger TV audience in some ways for some games?
Well, I think there's certainly a chance there'll be a bigger TV audience, because I think everyone knows somebody who's desperate to watch sport on television. And there's not a lot to do. You can't go to a local pub. So I think the audiences will be very, very much engaged. I think the broadcasters are really keen, obviously, to get the games back on air. I think they'll learn a lot from round one as well in terms of how to best do that and keep people engaged when they're watching a game without crowds, because it's clearly not without its challenges. But I expect the scheduling will be a reasonably normal schedule, and by that I mean more Friday, Saturday, Sunday type games, maybe some Thursdays, but I think it'll be more normal rather than playing every night, for example.
And from the business side of things, you've been in the investment banking game for a long, long time. You've got great experience in the business world, which hasn't seen something like this ever before. But how do you see the term of the recovery of all of this and the business recoveries in Australia?
Look, it's going to be tough. I think the people talk about V-shaped recoveries, U-shaped, Y-shaped, Nike swoosh. I've heard them all. The reality is nobody really knows. I think we're going to have our ups and downs, is my expectation. There's a lot of hard times ahead. I think that's the reality when unemployment is moving to the levels that we've now got and where it's likely to go. Governments can't keep printing money. Well, they can keep printing money, but eventually, the nation has to pay for all of this support the government's given, and the damage that's done to corporate Australia and particularly small businesses' balance sheets is enormous. And I think the toll of that is ahead of us, unfortunately. So, I think we can be optimistic that the world will continue, but I think we also have to be realistic that it's going to be a really tough journey for everybody.
Great to have a chat to you, Andrew. Really enjoyed the opportunity to get the thoughts of yourself, not just from a footy perspective, but from a business perspective as well, at the top of one of the great franchises in Australian sport. Thanks a lot for your time.
Pleasure.